Well, today, August 7th, is the feast day of one of the early popes that was martyred for the faith, Pope St. Sixtus II and his companions. He's been described as a good and peaceful man. He was first a priest, then elected the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, in the year 257. He was only Pope for 1 year until he was martyred for his faith. And in fact, if you've studied history, you'll know that the first 33 popes were all martyred, from St. Peter up until about the year 315, when Constantine became emperor. He made Christianity legal, and so that's when the popes were not automatically martyred for being pope. In fact, if you were elected pope, your days were numbered, because the enemies knew who the head of the church was. And they would especially go after the Bishop of Rome, because they knew he was the head of Christianity, the head of the Catholic Church. So every pope, the first 33 popes, are all canonized saints. They were all martyred for their faith. Well, Pope Sixtus II became pope, as I mentioned, in 257, and again, only pope for 1 year. But during that time, he had to deal with a very difficult division within Christianity. There was a split over whether or not the baptism of heretics was a valid baptism. There were those that had split away from the Catholic Church even then, and they were heretical, but they still believed in Christ, and they still did baptisms in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So half the church thought that these were invalid baptisms because they were done by heretics. The other half of the church said, no, if they are Christian and they're using the proper words and the pouring of water or by immersion, that is a valid baptism. So Pope Sixtus had to examine the situation, and he declared rightly that they were valid baptisms, just like today. Baptist baptisms are valid, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Anglican, any Christian denomination that has the proper words and the proper pouring of water or the immersion, those are valid baptisms, even though they are our separated brethren. They're Christian baptisms, but they are obviously not Catholic baptisms. And yet they are valid because of the proper words and proper way that they were done. So Pope Sixtus was able to steer the church along the true teaching, because he was guided by the Holy Spirit on issues of faith and morals, as all popes are. Well, the pope was eventually arrested in the catacombs. He was saying mass with a congregation as well as four deacons. The enemies of the church, led by the Emperor Valerian, came in. The soldiers came in and arrested the pope while he was saying mass in the catacombs. And the pope offered his life to save the faithful, to save the people. So the pope was arrested, taken away, and beheaded. And a few days later, the deacons were also beheaded or killed in other ways. We'll hear in a few days about St. Lawrence, who was one of those deacons killed 4 days later on August 10th. This feast day is a few days away. He was roasted alive on the gridiron. Well, the pope was killed. He was martyred for his faith. He was only had been pope for 1 year. His body was then buried in the along the Appian Way in the famous catacombs of St. Callistus. Some of you have been there. Many of you have been to Rome, been to the catacombs, have had the privilege of saying mass in the catacombs at the very spot where Pope Sixtus was arrested, where he gave his life for the mass, where he gave his life for the sake of the Eucharist and for the sake of the people of God. So we honor today this great pope as well as his companions. And they say the easiest way to get canonized is to find a very holy person and hang around them, and when they're martyred, you could become one of their companions, and then you go straight to heaven as well. So that's the easiest way to become a canonized saint, is hang around very saintly people And when they give their life for Christ, you give your life for Christ as well, and you go straight to heaven. That's what happened with Pope Sixtus and his companions. I think lastly, the thing we should remember about the persecutions of the church is that they've been going on for 2,000 years. Right after the time of Christ, you had Nero, who killed Peter and Paul, one by crucifixion, one by the sword. And then you had Decius in the year 250 and Valerian in 257, and then Diocletian in the late 200s. And then all throughout the centuries, there has been persecution of the church. It continues today. You only have to look online and type in persecution of Christians or persecution of Catholics around the world to see in how many countries right now we have people suffering for their faith. So pray for them. Pray for all of the suffering church. Pray for all those who are being persecuted for their faith in Christ and for being a Catholic or being a Christian throughout the world. Because as you know, there are four marks of the church: one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. But as some of the writers have said, there's actually a fifth mark of the church, and that is persecution. The church will always be persecuted. Jesus says, as they treated me, so will they treat you.